Welcome to the Auto Body Source Podcast, your direct link to products, skills, and training for a rewarding career in automotive collision repair.
We're starting today's episode with some interesting statistics. We happen to run across an interesting survey that was conducted by Adobe Corporation just last month. I found that Generation Z craves mentorship at work. One of the problems that was posed in this study was that they found that the majority of Gen Z employees who were born between the late 90s and early 2010s, of course, are struggling to find mentors. This future workforce study found that just over half, or about 52% of Gen Zers report having a mentor. But the survey also shows that 80% believe that having a mentor at work is crucial for their career. So if you are a Gen Zer who's struggling to find a mentor at your place of employment, you will enjoy today's episode. We have with us two guests today. First is Amy Kramer. Amy is North American Inside Sales Manager at BASF Refinish. And we also have an automotive technician, automotive collision technology student, Annie Dovali. Annie studies at Metropolitan Community College in Omaha, Nebraska. So we welcome both of you here. And on this topic, Annie, I guess we'll of course start with you. You have a very interesting career story, starting in this industry as a pretty much a minority. Can you tell us a little about that?
Yeah. So I have, you know, been working in restaurants for half my life, 15 years, and it's taken really good care of me, but it's time to try a different industry. And I have an undergrad in art, so I actually approach my program or my associate's degree with that kind of frame of mind. And I know that the trades are in crazy need right now of the next generation of laborers. And a friend of mine who is also an artist, she's a musician, recently went to school to become an electrician. So she partly inspired me to look towards the trades. And in looking at the trades, I landed on auto collision technology because I saw a lot of overlap with what they do and what artists do, especially when it comes to the technical skills and craftsmanship that is necessary when repairing automobiles, and not just automobiles, but planes or any kind of, you know, metal finished surface machine.
Nice, nice. So you're pretty early in your training course there at the community college, right?
Yes. So we are about 3 weeks away from finishing the first quarter. They go by the quarter system. So hasn't been terribly long, about 7 weeks, but because it is an accelerated 1 year program, we cover a lot of ground very quickly. So it's going by very quickly. And the amount of knowledge I'm gaining is at the rate I'm gaining it is quite astonishing. I'm surprised some days that I've been able to keep up.
Awesome. Awesome. You actually shared with us some images. Maybe you can walk us a little bit through what some of your training looks like right now.
Yeah. So right now I am in welding is one of my classes. And I think we have a photo of my, the cube that we were working on. There it is. This assignment, so we're welding a cube. It's not an enclosed cube, but we weld it together. There's stitch welds up top, plug welds on the bottom. And then as you can see in the photo, I'm starting to kind of cut out a triangular corner piece. And we will then be creating a piece to replace it, a brand new piece, welding it from the inside, and then grinding it down to make it look like it was never repaired, which is obviously very important when you're repairing cars, because when someone brings in their car to get fixed, in a perfect world, doesn't look like any repair was ever done. And we're doing this assignment because, interestingly enough, Pat McGibbon, my welding instructor, had when he was applying for a job at a body shop, this was an assignment that was given as part of his, interview test portion. So that's what inspired him to add it to our curriculum. Which I thought was kind of neat. We're doing the same thing that he had to do to get a job somewhere.
Awesome. Awesome. That sounds pretty exciting. Have you ever welded before?
No, this is my first time welding. And I love welding. Interestingly enough, my husband and I live in a container house that we've built ourselves. So had I known my love for welding back then, I would have had a lot more time to practice, and I'm sure he would have appreciated the help back then. But now I'm just on the hook for all the other additions that we do.
Nice, nice. What are some of the other, there's looks like another photo you have here.
Yes.
We're doing in the spray booth too.
Yeah. So if you, there's their fenders. This is part of non-structural one. So we were given these fenders. My instructor, Chris, put some holes in them or some dents in them with the hammer. I think the second one we got to make ourselves, which is a nice stress relief. And then we,
oh, can you still hear us there?
We lost her.
No worries. You know what we'll do is we will come back to you, Annie. And what we'll do is continue that little bit of the conversation once you hop back on. Okay. We will pivot also to our second guest, Amy Kramer. As mentioned, Amy, you have an extensive amount of extensive track record in the industry. Can you tell us a little bit of how you got your start in the automotive finish industry and really what mentorship you had in that environment?
Well, you know, I never dreamt that I would be in this type of an environment for a career. I had some activities in my life that I guess you could call tragedies. And I didn't have to, but I made a move from my home state, which is Ohio, to Michigan. I started working for an aftermarket automotive sunroof company. And then I actually went on a golf outing. And I met someone who worked at a small paint company. And one thing led to another. I was looking to try to find something close to home. And she just said, hey, would you be interested to interview? And I interviewed. I interviewed with the owner and the founder, who was a pioneer in the industry. And within a month, I was working for this company. And within 8 months, I was actually running one of the divisions of the company, which was pretty exciting. Because I quickly found out this is a very dominant male industry and or predominant, I should say. And I was really very nervous, and I was elated for the opportunity because I was widowed with 4 children. And so, you know, this gave me actually an opportunity to, you know, have a career where I could really I guess to like take care of my family and be home. And my boss was very, you know, helpful in trying to help me juggle my schedule and trying to raise 4 children on my own. But he also, I would say in the beginning, he was definitely my mentor. He identified the fact that, you know, I was a hard worker, that I was willing to learn. And he gave me, you know, he just kept handing me opportunities. And sometimes to the point where I would have to say, hey, you know, I need you to hold off a little bit because I am just one person and I know I'm busy and I'm capable, but I need to take one step at a time. And so he really helped me grow into to you know, the person I became. And I took a piece of his company that represented at the time about 60% of his business, and that business multiplied multiple times. And when I left that business, it was about 1/3. So it grew from 10 million to, you know, 65 million. And that was pretty incredible over a 16-year period. So it was a really fantastic opportunity. I got to meet some incredible people and make some amazing friends that I still have today. In fact, earlier today, I had a call from someone I have known for nearly this entire time in the industry, questioning me if I'm coming to SEMA. And unfortunately, this year, I'm not able to go. But when you do go to events like that, it's like a reunion. These people are just, there's so much history about the automotive industry, starting from, you know, the color black, and that was the only option, to today, which are just some amazing things because I've been working in coatings all this time. And so just the technology change in my time in the industry has made significant changes. And, you know, what we see in the future for technology changes and ADOS and, you know, all the calibrations and everything that take place today, the special layers of coating are also mattering. And it's pretty incredible. And I'm happy to be a part of it. I'm just celebrated 8 years at BASF, and some amazing things are happening in my career here. And even though I'm in the late part of my career, I still feel like I have a lot of gusto and a lot of drive and strive to see some great things happen before it's my time to pass the baton. So I hope that, you know, the inspiration can come. I hope to help deliver some mentorship and inspire some folks to come into this industry, because it is truly amazing.
That is awesome. That I'm inspired just hearing it. speaking of passing the baton, right, Andy, right before you had your connection cut out, you were explaining a bit about what led you into the industry. I thought what would be a nice opportunity, and Amy, maybe you could even touch on a lot of what drives you to want to inspire young women in this industry, and whether there's any advice you would offer a new technician like Annie.
Sure. I mean, there's so many resources out there. I do belong to an organization in the industry called Women's Industry Network, and I have watched a lot of young ladies grow to where they are in different positions today, whether it's, you know, it's not just in automotive coatings, but it's in insurance business and, you know, all the different aspects of the industry itself. And having, being able to have that little network within our, and not to say that there are men can be included in this industry as well, into this group. But it's nice to have someone to reach out to when you have questions, or, you know, what is the next step that I need to go through to get to that level if I want to become, you know, a manager or a director or whatever layer, that you choose to head, in your career path. Because, you know, I think that everyone along the way, whether you're in the medical field or you're in, you know, sometimes people work in the food industry and they become chefs. So everyone has a path. And I hope that, Annie, your opportunities, you expand and be open-minded. Definitely create as many relationships as you can within the industry. Research everything that you can for your career path. Certainly, you know, having connections with different layers of the industry also matter, not just within the body shop era. You know, there's insurance, there's, you know, suppliers to different products that body shops need. There, every layer of our industry is really in need of staffing. I work with quite a few industry experts that speak on this on a daily, weekly basis. If you're attending SEMA this year, definitely go check out, you know, find out who is speaking about it, because it is a hot topic this year for sure.
Awesome. Thanks for the advice.
Mm-hmm.
What was I going to ask? My friend who inspired me partially to the electrician to go into the trades did warn me that, you know, I'm loving school. She loves school. She says the field is very different than being in school. And I don't know if you can speak to that at all or have any advice about that.
Yeah, most definitely. Earlier in my career, and I sometimes experience it now, being that it's a predominant male industry, they don't always, I don't want to pinpoint any one person, but sometimes you're felt like you don't know as much as sometimes a male does in this role or this industry. And, you know, I feel like my strength has been my integrity. I try to stay humble. I try to keep learning all the time. But when I do feel challenged, maybe against my gender, that I still keep forging forward because I know what I have done. I know what I'm capable of doing. And honestly, just trying to, you know, be open-minded, a good listener. And then I ask questions. How can I help you? And share what I do know. And if I can't get you the answer, I have sources. So those things have definitely helped me be successful in my role, but also to build on the relationships that I guess I'm able to work in that male dominant industry that sometimes is tough.
Yeah.
And honestly, I grew up with two brothers. They both picked on me a lot. Yeah.
I also so have two brothers, so I get it.
Yeah. So I think that was a little bit of a learning curve. I also grew up, my father had a mechanic shop. So when I found my spot in this career, there was a lot of things that made sense. I mean, selling, because that's mainly my role, is I sell products, but whether it's you know, a lamp or a book or automotive paint, it is very a similar process. And you know, learning what I did at home, you know, my dad having his own business, the most important thing to our family was having a customer. Without the customers, my dad didn't have a job and he didn't provide for our family. And so it's that mindset that I have in everything I do for my job. Without the customer, I have no responsibility. And I always treat the customer the way I would want to be treated. So I guess that's a harmonious thought, but I wish the world could be like that in general, but we don't need to go there today. But yeah, it's challenging. I've gone through so many challenges. I try not to take anything personal because it's just automotive coatings and it's not a life or death situation, but I've also had way more fun that trumps out the anything that's been tough. I've met some incredible people. I've gone to some amazing places. I've traveled most of North America, including the Panama Canal, and, you know, just had some great events and great dinners and, you know, great conversations and the best of friends. And I love that part. I really enjoy the connections. And like I said, I wish I could go to SEMA. There's just too much going on right now. And but if you get a chance to get there, get a chance to get yourself to the WIN Group, the Women's Industry Network, or any organization that has, you know, a collection of people that you could just have conversations with is really amazing.
Yeah. What would you say, advocating for more laborers in general in the trades, but also specifically thinking advocating for more women? I think the way I've been doing it, I was just talking with another friend of mine who's an artist. She's a painter, drawer, but she's kind of in a similar position where I just was, is a, you know, as with, you know, all of my friends who are artists, sometimes you have a great month and then you kind of have to hold on to that money because you don't know if you're going to be making any sales. So I think that for me is why I've always had a job in the restaurant, to be able to have a regular steady paycheck. And she's kind of getting to the point where she's looking for work, doesn't know what she wants to do, maybe is going to think about getting a master's of fine art. And I was advocating, you know, I was there preaching to her. I was like, go to the trades. I was like, there's such a demand right now. The finding employment afterwards, I don't think will be difficult. And there's so much, again, overlap between what we do as artists and what technicians do in the trades. So that's kind of how I've been advocating. But I don't know. I'm curious how you advocate young people and especially women to enter into this field.
So just recently I attended an event and I spoke to a group of about 60 different distributors about this topic, and, you know, male and female. But, you know, the one thing that I do understand and I've witnessed is women definitely are more attention to detail. They keep good records. They follow up. And not to say that men don't. I don't want to address that at all. But women are very capable. And I think if you can just give the person a chance and open the door and, you know, bring them in. Sometimes you show them one or two things, you know, like myself, I came into an industry and my perception of like, okay, how does this all work? And I had one lady that I worked with that I think back now, it made total sense to me at the beginning when she, and I laugh about it. She's since passed on, but she's like, hey, painting a car is just like painting your nails. You go through all the exact same steps.
It's so true. Yeah. I was talking about that with my friend in nail tech the other day. I was like talking about pearls and stuff. And she goes, yeah, it's just, it's all the same. It's very similar. It's the same thing.
Very similar process and obviously different equipment, but the steps of getting that accomplished and the, you know, the amazement that today, I mean, 25 years ago when I started in the industry, it was very generic for having your nails painted. Today you can get all this fancy artwork done on them. And I don't do that, but it is amazing to watch some of these videos and but yeah, I would say to advocate, you know, I do my best to even my own daughters. I have girls and they are all very independent, have great careers. They thank goodness they didn't take the automotive route. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but I'm happy to see them doing their own thing and not something that maybe my experience over poured into them. I will admit the fact that when they were younger, they used to come into my office and file paperwork. And sometimes I caught my one daughter answering the phone because I walked away from my desk and she picked up my phone. And when I came back, I was a little paranoid, but her voice is very similar to mine. And so the person thought it was me. And so we laugh about it now today, but you know, it's not that I didn't want them to join the industry. I wanted them to do something they wanted to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hope to, you know, we have ideas of different things we want to do through my own job and conversations through, there's a company, a nonprofit organization called CREF. It's Collision Refinish Education Foundation. We work a lot with that group to support them with, you know, equipment and trying to educate, you know, folks to the different parts of the industry. We also attend different career events at colleges in our area, like Michigan State. That's a big one for BSF. We've hired quite a few people from that university, but always trying to get in front of folks to let them know, hey, you have your college degree, but there's also trades that are in dire straits.
Yeah. And I think the value too of a trades degree at the end of the day is surpassing or can surpass the value of like a more traditional four-year degree. And that's kind of the other thing I'm really driving home. I mean, the cost of going to university for a four-year degree is just getting so bit astronomical. And, you know, community college is great. It's much more affordable. And I think the longevity of like a worthwhile career after graduating with an associate's degree is, yeah, going to be something really great.
I think too, there's one piece that I would love to say to younger folks. You know, we enjoy some of these really luxury things in our lives, whether they're amazing vehicles that we drive, we have air conditioning in our home or heat where we're now experiencing winter soon, or maybe, you know, you want to have a new appliance added to your home that has a water feature or whatever. Without having someone in the future in those trades, we might not get to enjoy those luxuries to have them, to drive them or have them repaired or, you know, there's so many moving parts. My brother is in the welding industry and he's experiencing the same thing. He's having a hard time transferring his knowledge and you know, inspiring someone. And some of these are amazing career and amazing salaries, and they just take time, and there are steps to get to that point in their life, in your life. It can't be an immediate gratification. So yeah, I mean, I want to make sure that we have somebody to fix our furnace and, you know, fix our plumbing and things like that in the future. Yeah. So, it's not just automotive refinish. It's everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good point.
Yeah.
That was, I've just been sitting here and soaking all this in. I've loved this mini roundtable that we've been able to have. It's the very insightful questions that you've asked, Annie. And thank you for your insight and taking the time here with us, Amy. There are so many technicians like you, Annie. You're definitely inspiring others. And we definitely would welcome you back to continue. Thank you both.
I would like to hear it. I would like to check in like a year from now to see where you are and see how things are going. And, you know, it's exciting. Congratulations for, you know, thinking about the future.
Thank you. Yeah. And congratulations to you for continuing on and being willing to answer questions from young people like me who sometimes feel a little in the dark about what does life look like after graduating and actually entering into the field. So yeah, having that is amazing.
Sure. I'd be happy to share my contact information with you as well.
Please.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to the 1 year follow-up.
Yeah, that would be great.
So we'll be circling back with you guys then.
Yes, definitely.
Glad to have forged this relationship with you. We will definitely tell everyone to stay tuned. And we thank you guys again for joining us.
Thank you so much.
The Auto Body Source podcast is a production of the Auto Body Source, published by International Auto Body Marketing Group. For 3 decades, the Auto Body Source has connected repair solutions to collision shops across North America. In continuous publication since 1992, we differentiate ourselves with a publication that's a direct resource for auto body products and brands to the warehouse, the jobber, and body shop technicians, servicing over 17,000 jobber customers each year in the U.S. and Canada, as well as Bermuda, Puerto Rico, Venezuela, Bahamas, and the Caribbean. For more information, visit www.autobodysource.com.